So, Father God, I want to thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ that through Daniel and the teachings of Jesus, Paul and Peter and James and Jude and John and Luke, wonderful brothers in the Lord that were sensitive to you by the Holy Spirit to pen things that you wanted them to pen for these days in which we would be living in. But there's still an understanding that you want to grant to us, Lord God, where our focus and the desire of our life is always to be. As we know that the Word of God says there's going to be a culmination, a gathering, Lord God, a bringing together from all four corners of the earth. And it says that you will gather together all things in Christ. Oh, Father, may we have that understanding right now. Every aspect, every part of our life, everything that we face, may we face it and go through it through and in Jesus Christ. So help us, Lord God. Help us to comprehend and understand from a place not just of knowledge. You tell us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that knowledge is to bring us to a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation through the knowledge of yourself. So it becomes real, so it becomes alive, so it becomes applicable to us, Lord. So it brings us to that place, as it says in the last part of Ephesians chapter 2, that we all become a habitation of God in and by the Spirit. So we know what it's like to live with you and to walk with you and to talk with you, and you talk back with us, Lord God, to be in that place of such union with you, that nothing, Lord God, will keep us apart from you. Things may happen for a moment, but there's a working that you do within us. There is a truth that you reveal to us that always brings us back to the goodness of yourself. And there are certain truths and certain passages and certain promises that we hold to, Lord God, that we never let go because of a present circumstance or situation. But in all things, we look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. This is going to be something really important for us to look at beginning next week or the week after. Depends on how far I get today. Because prophecy is important for us. It's important to understand certain prophecies that have already been fulfilled. And we need to look at some things, especially concerning the nations, especially concerning Israel. And then those things that the Word of God speaks about concerning the Church of Jesus Christ in the last days. And at times, we can become so self-absorbed, so nearsighted, or so intro-sighted, so my life-sighted, that we neglect to see the larger picture that God wants us to see. And there's things being fulfilled all around us that we're not comprehending because of having a limited view instead of a larger view. And hopefully that the Lord's going to allow me to share with you the larger view so we just don't get so micro-viewed, so small in what things are going on. Because the enemy and this world he has such an agenda to get you so focused on what your life is going through for you to miss the bigger picture of what's going on all around us. And not that God's not interested in what you're facing, but at times what we are facing and what we are going through is the enemy's smokescreen to get us from seeing the larger picture of what's happening all around us. And so I want to be able to do this, and the Lord will show me how to do this. We have been looking at these all things scriptures, and you know the first one we started with was Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that God will work all things together for the good to those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. And when the Word of God says that He will work all things for the good, that's it. He will work all things for the good, no matter how devastating, no matter how horrible a situation is. No matter if anything gets you down, if anything causes you to be frustrated, if you are experiencing any type of oppression or attack, if you're going through some sort of weakness or diseased, whether it be an infirmity or just your mind and your thinking are completely unquieted. In other words, it's not at ease or it's not at peace with God. Or you find yourself in a place of a doubt, a quiet doubt about God or maybe about one of His promises. This is just things that get introduced into our life to keep us away from the truth that all things or everything will work together for the good because God is good. It may not be a good thing that you're facing, but God is always good and will work it to the good. Okay? And I would just like to read, as I said earlier, that in Daniel chapter 12, it speaks about the wise ones. Daniel was given such a revelation about the end times. Actually, there are certain passages in the book of Daniel that mirror chapters and passages in the book of Revelation. And he said that God told him, you're to seal up these things for now. It's not for you to know them now. You're going to go ahead and die, and you're going to go ahead and be gathered together. But there's coming a time in the future when at the time of the end, it talks about those who are wise will understand. Those who are wise will understand. And it's just amazing in the teachings of Jesus how He makes correlations between wise and foolish, whether they be wise and foolish virgins, or whether a person is wise concerning the Word of God, hearing it, obeying it, and digging deep, and having that Word founded on their lives, or foolish and just being a hearer of the Word and not ever taking it personal. And so we have an understanding from Daniel that they're going to be wise ones who are going to understand and be able to discern. So having said that, that means also that they're going to be foolish ones who aren't going to understand, who aren't going to be able to grasp it, because the things that are happening with them are so huge and so big that they're missing what God has. And we want to make sure that we aren't those people that become foolish in a time of difficulty, but that we continue to be wise ones that continue to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, no matter what takes place between the start and finish. No matter what takes place between the start and finish, that we're going to look to Him. Okay? And so I've been, as you know, that we all have been in times and places where we have felt like we've been crushed, or we have felt that we've been perplexed, or we have felt that we have been downtrodden. And sometimes we get to a place of wondering what's going on. There's nothing wrong with wondering what's going on as long as you're wondering unto the one who has the answer. Okay? As long as you're deeply planted in the truth of God's Word, that He's got you. He's got you. God's got me. And so the Apostle Paul himself experienced things like this. And we have these things written, and I want to just read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When Paul begins talking about some of the things that he faced in his life, because he was one who did not veil the gospel. He is one who did not keep the truth back. When he knew he needed to share it, when he knew he needed to display it, when he knew he needed to give it out, he also knew that there would be an opposition. When you advance in the Lord, you can expect opposition. But always remember that there has been a victorious opposition of Jesus Christ against all thwarting or all attacks against the devil. Okay? So we have a victorious one who had experienced everything that you and I would be thwarted with. And he overcame. Amen? And so Paul had an understanding that he was given a truth and he had to communicate that truth no matter how much opposition came against him because of that truth. Okay? We are hard pressed on every side, verse 8. Yet not crushed. We find ourselves in a place of perplexity, or we are perplexed, but not in despair. We never get to a place where we are destitute of God's hope. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. There will always come those things into your life that you need to die to. But the Word of God doesn't leave us there, so that the life of God may be manifested in its place. I'm always, every day, are there not things that you need to overcome every day? The dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, or why Jesus Christ had to go to the cross and die. It says, in whom or in him, I believe it's Ephesians 1:7, in whom or in him we have the forgiveness of sins. Jesus went to the cross to provide the forgiveness. Remember I said it's a good way to look at that word forgiveness, four things. Okay? Pardon, release, liberty, and freedom. Okay? Pardon, release, liberty, and freedom. He came to provide a pardon, a release, and a liberty, and freedom from all sins. Okay? And so he went to the cross and experienced that for us. So every day, if there's still something in my life where I'm missing God's standard, sin means to miss the mark, to miss what God has, not coming up to the place where it merits God. Well, I can't do anything to merit God's favor. But Jesus Christ, it tells us in John chapter 1, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He's the one who merits everything on my behalf and has secured everything on my behalf. So there is something that gets revealed in my life. Does everybody live 100% every day for Jesus? Or do we mess up? So there is something of the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ that you need to experience or accept that Jesus Christ has done on your behalf so that the life of Jesus Christ may be experienced. Okay? So I bear about in my body daily the dying of the Lord Jesus. There's something that gets revealed in me every day that needs to be brought to him and his finished work so that I may experience his life in its place. Okay? Now, there are things that we find ourselves experiencing, as it says here, for verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. Okay, and Paul is referring back to those things which he experienced while walking in this body for the testimony of Jesus Christ. The persecutions he experienced, the false brethren that he experienced, the very life itself that he experienced was trying to thwart him or stop him for the sake of the gospel. But he goes on to say that even though all these things happen and these things are going to take place in our life, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. And you have to realize that no matter how much the enemy comes against you, no matter how much flesh, you still have manifesting in your life. And some are very fleshy. Some are very carnal. Hey, there's some areas I'm pretty carnal in. Okay? And that, guess what? I get to die to that. Okay? That I may experience the very life of Jesus in that area. But I also have to remember I have an enemy of the soul that is going to do whatever he can do to get me to deny that life. He's going to try to touch everything in my life, everyone in my life, maybe even some of you. He's going to try to touch people and get people to say and do things against you. How many of you like being stabbed in the back? Raise your hand. How many of you like horrible things said about you? How many of you know, have you ever known somebody that loved you and then you heard something ill-spoken to you from them or about them? Like, oh, I thought that person, you see, that it just allows me to die. See, when these things happen, it allows what Jesus Christ suffered on the cross for me to experience and to release, for me to experience a forgiveness and to release a forgiveness, to experience a forgiveness, and to release a forgiveness. Because there are things that I'm going to do to step on your toes, and there's probably some things you're going to do to step on my toes. You're going to be in an environment with inside this world that one moment they'll say they love you, and the next moment they're going to be completely against you. You're going to need to receive the forgiveness of the Lord, and you're going to need to extend the forgiveness of the Lord. Okay? Because if you don't receive His forgiveness, you're going to be bitter, you're going to be bound, you're going to be handicapped in your walk with God. But if you know that all things will work together for the good, that no matter what you face in life, no matter what is said about you in life, no matter the evil that may befall you in life, there's the good, there's the grace, and there's a life of God that's always, 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 always there on your behalf. And it's going to cause a testimony for the Word of God. So death is working in us, but life in you. Have any of you ever experienced something? Have any of you ever experienced a deliverance or a freedom from some kind of a sin? Or this is the way I once was, but now I'm this way. There are death experiences that lead to life testimonies. Okay? How many of you have a testimony? We should all have some kind of a testimony of what God has done. You had to experience a death to experience a life-giving testimony. There had to have been something that went on with inside your life that you were able to experience what Jesus Christ had secured for your life. This is the way I was, this is what Jesus did, and this is who I am now. Hallelujah. Amen? So when a death is working in me, or when my flesh gets exposed, and sometimes it can be horrible, and sometimes it can be ugly, or when a situation comes into my life that is meant to kill or destroy my life, and I choose to look unto Jesus. I choose to take God at His Word. A Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing. I know that you have begun a good work in me, and you're going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I know, Lord God, it's a good work you're doing in me. This is not a good situation that I find myself in. But I trust in your goodness, Lord God. And so what was meant to kill or destroy my life, or maybe to take me out or to take you out, it's going to be life in somebody else. So your testimony, what you've come through, something you've overcome in, is going to be a testimony of life to somebody else. Because they may face something similar, or they may be under attack, but then they hear your life-giving testimony on the other side of it. So that death, which has worked in me, and I'm on the other side of it, will be speaking life to you. Amen? Hallelujah. And this is what it's supposed to do. And it goes on here to say, but since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. We must live from a place of faith in God, faith toward God, faith of God. Faith in God, you got to find out what His Word has to say. And when you start taking that word personally, it begins developing a faith toward God. And the reason why I'm saying that, because at times we have faith or belief in other things. But when we get the washing of the water of God's Word, when we get the washing of the water of Word, God's Word, it says faith comes by hearing, or faith in God, or faith in the things of God, comes from hearing. And what are we supposed to be hearing? Hearing by the Word of God. So then there is a faith that you may have had, maybe in your own strength, maybe in your own ability. Maybe you had a worldview or a philosophy of life that all of a sudden the Word of God is like, whoa, that's not what I believe. That's not what I was thinking how this end would be. That's not, there are some people in the church that have certain beliefs that are not beliefs in the Word of God. And as we stay with the Word of God, even some of our erroneous beliefs that we think about God get changed. Okay? Why? By faith. Faith in what? Hearing what God's Word has to say, that causes us to begin viewing God rightly, causes us to come out of faith or out of belief in the wrong thing and start putting our faith toward God the right way. then we start demonstrating our life as with the faith of God. That word has so come into our lives that it has changed us, and we have become what the Word of God says. I believed, we believed, and therefore we speak. I believed, and therefore I speak. You see, God wants to show His Word and show Himself so strong on your behalf that no matter the circumstance or situation that comes in your life, there is a truth, there is a belief that's going to come up that's going to be greater than that. It's going to come up out of you, and you're going to begin narrating it. You're going to begin speaking it. You're going to begin having it come out. Remember, as it spoke, I like to go back to the man who's considered the father of our faith, or the father of faith, I should say, which is Abraham, and he was given a promise by God. And Romans chapter, I believe it's 4. Romans chapter 4 says this, and I'm going to get back here to 2 Corinthians 4 right after this. So Romans 4 right now. Abraham receives a word from God, okay? And it says in verse 17, as it is written, or this is the word that he received from God, I have made you a father of many nations. Okay, so the promise given to him. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead, calls those things which do not exist as though they did, or as though they did exist. So a lot of times God is going to show you something that is completely non-existent in your life. He's going to speak something and show you something he wants you to grab hold of, and you're going to probably think, I don't see how this is possible in the natural. But when you know it comes from God, you will grab hold of its reality and its truth as if it's already come to pass. That is how real His Word needs to become to you, because life is going to make sure it introduces something there that's going to speak contrary to that promise that God wants you to stand on. Okay? So He wants you to be able to take that word that He has for you and to so inscribe it on your heart that no matter whatever comes your way, the spirit of faith will continue to speak. We therefore believe, therefore we speak. I believed, and therefore I speak. I keep you before me, Lord God. I keep your promise before me. I see what this circumstance is trying to dictate to me. I see the horrificness of what this is trying to dictate to me. But I have a truth that's greater from you than the present circumstance that I'm now experiencing. And look what it goes on here to say. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. He became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. You see the living reality of that truth that was already within him. He wasn't a dad. He didn't have a son. He continued to advance in age. His wife continued to advance in age until he was 100 and she was 90. Continued, but he continued to hold firm to that which was spoken to him by God. He continued to grab hold of it. No matter what life said, no matter what went on, he grabbed hold of what God's word said. There's something that God wants you to grab hold of. There's something that God wants you to take hold of. Because if all things can work together for the good, what is the thing that's going on in your life that you need God's work in, that you need God's performance in, that you need God to show up in? What is it that He has spoken to you? When pressure comes, do you hold to it or do you release the word? And what I mean release, do you let it go or do you continue to say, no, this is what He's shown me. This is what it says. I refuse to hear and believe anything else than what God has revealed to me. Abraham had that kind of faith. And it says we are to have that kind of faith. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. In other words, He did not allow the word of God that he had put belief in to become an unbelief by accepting and looking at the natural situation of his own body old, Sarah's body old. How in the world is she ever going to get pregnant? I'm dry, she's dry. How is this ever going to happen? He didn't consider his own body nor his wife's body. He considered the word of God. Okay, you are to consider the word of God. You are to take to yourself the word of God. I'm speaking here from experience. I'm speaking here from... The enemy tries to take us out. But what I'm finding... I'm finding that when I get pruned, I blossom more and produce more fruit. I'm finding that when... when I'm down for the count, one, two, I'm just taking a reprieve of rest because before 10 comes, I'll be back on my feet. So the enemy may say, you're going out. I'm just resting right now. Hallelujah. He may think he's got something on me. He's got nothing on me. Because Jesus has everything for me. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Strengthened in faith. Strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So how did he give glory to God? Oh, I glorify you, God. I glorify you. Or does he glorify God by the spirit of faith, continuing to say the promise of God given to him? What greater glory is there than his name being changed from Abram to Abraham? I'm Abraham. I'm a father of many nations. Really? What have you been drinking? And who's this here? This is not Sarah. This is Sarah. My, what is it you guys have? Can you bottle it? You see, they had the promise of God regardless of the physical circumstances of their own bodies. And at times, you're going to look completely ridiculous. You're going to look completely ridiculous when you hold on to the Word of God. But you see, when you're in a devastating place, or whether you're in a high place, whether you find yourself in your mind becoming perplexed about the present circumstance and you're just trying to figure it out, or whether you have perfect understanding of everything, I still will hold to the Lord Jesus Christ and his word as supreme within my life. Present circumstances has tried to squeeze out God's word from my life. But in that crushing time, God has prevailed, revealing the faithfulness of himself. We've heard a lot on that word faithfulness already this morning. God is always faithful, always faithful. And that's what I completely rest and rely on. Being fully convinced, what was he fully convinced of? That he who had promised, or the one who had given him the promise, he or God was also able to perform or bring it to pass. And as the result of this, it says it was accounted to him for righteousness. Going back here to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The spirit of faith. There are some here today, if not every one of us in some area, where the spirit or the breath of faith needs to speak. There's in some area of our lives, something in your walk with God where God is not, there is a breath of his word that he wants to breathe in on you to cause your faith in God to develop. So you'll have a faith toward God, so you'll demonstrate the faith of God. There's something that he's doing, and he's doing it in your life. And sometimes, just the present circumstance that you find yourself in will show you where you're at and where you need to be. Amen? And at times, you may not even think you are where you need to be until you find yourself in a very devastating situation and realize that the more you get pushed and the more that you feel like you're getting stomped on, And the more that you sense that everything is against you, that you realize that you are looking to God and you are trusting Him in all things. Amen? So back here at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. So I have an understanding and you have an understanding, and I'd like to talk some more about this. We know that there's a resurrection of the just coming. Do we not know? There's a resurrection. Jesus Christ Himself was resurrected on the third day. And there's coming a time when the last person's going to come to know Jesus Christ, the trumpet's going to sound, and all the justified ones, all the true believers in Jesus Christ, are going to be caught up to the Lord in the air, and we will forever be with Him in the air. That's the first resurrection, or the resurrection of the just. Okay? We know that that is happening, but I also know, and what we also need to hear, is a teaching on the resurrected life, the resurrected power of God within our life. That He continues to raise us up in areas that seem to be dead. And He wants a life-giving truth to come into those areas to raise you up in. I'm looking forward, very forward, to the resurrection of the just. I'm looking very forward to meeting the Lord and forever to be with Him. I hope you are too. Now, as you have heard me say this, and I challenge people by saying this, do you believe in the resurrection of the just? Does everyone that's here today, do you believe you're going to be part of that company? Whew. Of course we want to believe that. Of course I believe that. Frank Trent has been teaching on the seven churches. And last Wednesday night, the first two Wednesdays of the month, he's teaching on. He has the next one this Wednesday. The last one he did last week was on Pergamos. And it talks about, and to every church, Jesus is described. There's a description of Jesus before he begins talking to the church. And he who holds, I am he who holds the two-edged sword. There was something in the church of Pergamos that really, I tell you what, I just haven't been able to let it go. Frank touched on it, and it's just been magnifying and growing on the inside of me. And he talked about how well they were doing in these areas, but he says there are those among you who hold. And he spoke of two doctrines, that those in the church were holding on to a doctrine that wasn't a doctrine of Christ, wasn't a doctrine of Jesus Christ, but they had accepted it as a doctrine of Jesus Christ. That's why the word doctrine, the word teaching is used there, because they have held to it. They were lied to, and they were given this doctrine, and they held to it. One was the doctrine of Balaam, the other one was the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Okay? Now, if I could just basically just say this. This is basically what the doctrine of Balaam does. It seduces you. It's a seductive doctrine that leads away from Jesus Christ. And we know from two passages in the Word of God, 1 John chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 12, it talks about the whole world lies under the sway or the deception of the evil one. So that same influence tries to infiltrate and influence the church by introducing a teaching to get you away from the true, real Jesus to seduce you into something else. And the doctrine of the Nicolaitans means, let me say this right, Lord, bringing people into bondage. You see, a seducing spirit will lead you to a place of bondage. And isn't that what the devil wants? To take something, a word or a truth, to twist it just enough to seduce you, to get you under his influence instead of the Holy Spirit's influence, to cause you to be dominated by him. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans, to separate you from the true authority that's in Jesus Christ to a different authority that you think is Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. Then it goes on to say, those who hold that, if they don't repent, because Jesus tells them to repent, and if they don't repent, Jesus says, I will come to them, those who have refused to hear the pure, true word of God and repent and be changed. And he says, I will fight with you with the sword of my mouth. Man, you know, that's mind-blowing. To imagine Jesus coming to a church or a group of people or to a people, hopefully none of us, and that he himself will fight against us with the sword of his mouth. He's talking to the church. So if, no, he is addressing the church then, will he also not address the church now? And why does he do it? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He doesn't want anyone to miss it. I'd rather Jesus come to my life with the sword of his mouth and expose anything in my life now that needs to be revealed to me now, so when that last trumpet calls or when I breathe my last breath, I'm going to be part of that company. But some people don't want to hear those kinds of things now. They don't believe that Jesus will even do something like that now. And there's a very clear word in there that he does. And so some people, I feel like God's judging me. If the word of God is coming in and it's doing what it says, it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between what? The soul, that which is not of God. Any seducing spirit, anything that's come in that is trying to imitate God, oh, Antichrist. Coming in looking like Jesus Christ, but it's really against Jesus Christ. Remember the word Antichrist, as we are told in 1 John chapter 2. He says there is an Antichrist coming, but many Antichrists have already gone out into the world. Remember the word isn't just against Jesus Christ, it also is in the place of Jesus Christ. And that's what the enemy likes to do, to give a teaching or a doctrine that sounds like Jesus Christ, but it's not of Jesus Christ. For us to embrace it, be deceived, come into bondage, and realize and not realize that we aren't even in the fellowship of Jesus, but there's something else that we have joined a fellowship with, and it's not Jesus Christ. But he loves us so much, he loves his church so much, that he will allow messengers, that's just not angels, remember that word, that when you've heard me say this before, that when Jesus is addressing all seven of these churches, it says to the angel of the church of. Jesus did not need John to write a physical letter to a spiritual angel to give him a message. True? He just talks to his angels. But that same word messenger is also used of a messenger of God, and his name was John the Baptist. That same Greek word agalos is also referred to people or a person given a message or given the responsibility for a message over or to a group of people. So it is referring to those that are in a place of responsibility and been given the responsibility and care over a group of people to show forth and to give forth the full message that God has for that body. Okay? Now, some people want to debate that. Oh, no, he was having John write to angels. No. No, Jesus does not need an apostle to write a physical letter to get attention of a spiritual angel. Just think of it. Just think of it. He's writing to a messenger of a church. He's writing to leadership. And God is getting leadership's attention right now. He's getting people's attention so that the bride, when Jesus comes, will be without spot, blameless, pure, ready for Jesus when he comes. Amen? And so if there is a word that is needed that will come from Jesus Christ himself, whether it be to you studying the Word of God, whether it be to you by the Holy Spirit, whether it be through me or someone else here in the body, to get our attention, if I've embraced or if you've embraced something other, or if there's some sort of seduction that has come into your life and you don't even realize you're in a place of bondage, Jesus will see to it that you are set free. But we have to be able to hear that word. We have to be able to hear what he has to say. And a lot of times we can just begin looking at the fruit of our lives. How is that fruit looking? How is our life looking before the Lord? And what I'm saying right now is not very popular in a lot of churches. They won't even speak about the judgment of God to the people of God first before the judgment of God comes to this world. Because God loves us so much. He loves his people so much. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance inside the church and outside the church. Amen? And look what he goes on here to say. Verse 16, therefore, do not lose heart. Okay, anybody here, I hope you're not losing heart. Though our outward man is perishing, Karen talked a little bit about us growing old today during communion. You know, I'm with Karen. Just because I age, I'm not accepting or receiving anything that anybody's saying about when we age. You know, when you get older, it's just natural for you to begin. No. You know, it's funny because, you know, we'll make conversations like that. Or a person may say something to me. I say, excuse me, how old are you now? Your hearing's going. Huh? Any of you ever sense, you know, that, you know, oh, I need readers now. Did I need readers before? Why do I need readers? Most of you know, I wore trifocals at one time for about 5 years here. Okay? I wear glasses, you know, far when I'm on the computer and near, right? And I bought a book, How to Throw Away Your Glasses. Okay. So I went through that book, and I started doing the exercise in that book, and I started following all these different exercises. You know what? If you exercise your muscle, it has a tendency to get stronger. If you just let it alone, it will atrophy or waste away. Okay? I think a lot of times as we get older, we find ourselves atrophying and things are wasting away because of lack of use. Okay? I started doing these eye exercises. I put my glasses on. I'm like, oh, I'm really having a hard time with these things. I think I might need, and this is what I thought, a stronger prescription. So I went back to the VA. They sent me to the eye doctor. The eye doctor examines my eyes and says, throw away these glasses. All you need are readers now. Let's believe God. I'm believing, see, I'm hardly even putting these suckers on. Why don't we continue to believe God? Just let's put our faith out there. I'm not, do not hear me wrong today. Okay? Clarification. Let me put a PS on this. A Pastor Smith. Well, he threw away his glasses. I'm going to throw away my glasses. Don't do it. Apply your faith. Apply the Word of God. Take the Word of God. You know, Lord, you know, it'd be really great one day if I don't have to wear these anymore. But you know what? Why don't we just start with lowering the prescription? Start somewhere, okay? Instead of, well, you know, he just made me feel condemned today because he's not wearing glasses and I am. And he just happened to look around at everybody wearing glasses. And some wearing contacts. Come on, get over it. Begin applying your faith somewhere. Begin believing God somewhere. Start showing God, what one thing, what one area of my life do you want me to begin believing you more in? Okay? Just ask him for one area that you want, that you know that you need to believe him more in. And as you ask him for the one, you're going to find out he's going to show you a truth. He'll give you a promise. He'll teach you something that you can grab hold of to believe him more in. Amen? I just, you know what hit me? I'd rather believe him more in than be a more on. Hallelujah. Anthony? I've got my little brother here from Puerto Rico that just walked in. Hermanito, ven. He's right at the age of Jeremiah.
Oh, I love you, Uncle.
Man, what a surprise.
So,
I love you, man.
Thank you.
Wow.
It's been a long trip.
What? It's going to be a great day. It's already a great day, but it's going to be a better day.
Thank you.
Huh? Yeah. We'll talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll listen. Oh.
Oh. Woo. Jeremiah has two uncles, and he's right in between them. And he goes, he's got a brother named Richard, and of course Anthony, and Jeremiah was right in between him. He goes, Dad, I'm not going to call either of them Tio, which means uncle. They're not my TOs, even though they are my TOs. And it was just really cool, you know, to have just, and I'm so glad to see you. My heart has just been just wonderfully elevated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Wow. I thought, you know, when he walked in, I'm looking back there, I was like, am I dreaming? Is this a dream? Anthony? Wow. For all things are for your sakes. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, that's exciting. Whew. Verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. For all things are for your sakes. You may have a difficulty in a thing right now. You may have a very difficulty in something right now. I can't get away from all things. I can't get away for all things or for my sake. Or there's something that God's going to do that's going to be good. There is some goodness of God that's going to come forth. Because when it says it's for your sake. Oh, well, you know, this pain you got right now is for your sake. No, it's for my sake to go to look to Jesus to see what he's done with it. So that I may experience what he has secured on my behalf. That's for my sake. Okay? Because he's already gone to the cross. And see, these are things that we have to be careful of bringing an old man mentality in when we look at scriptures. Or because you feel, you may look at yourself sometimes as worthless. So you have a propensity or you have more of a desire to look at scriptures negatively. I'm just suffering for Christ right now. This is God's sake for me. God wants to work it together for the good. No matter, do you remember when I broke this ankle in 1990? The day that I was ordained in the ministry. The day I was ordained in the ministry. I went out and played soccer. Jeremiah, it was the finishing of the season and the parents always play against the coaches. And I was out there and Christine says, Mark, I don't believe you should be playing this game. Oh, honey, it's just a harmless game of soccer. Well, you get a bunch of guys out there in their 30s and 40s. They think they're back in high school again. Huh? All of a sudden, Jeremiah's coach comes. I'm going down to score on the goal. And all of a sudden, we collide. And it sounded like a 2x4 busted. Or you know what the coach's name was, right? Bob Payne. And man, did he inflict pain on me. And for many years, as you know, this foot was facing the other direction and my tibia and fibula were snapped off and I had to have plates, screws, and wires put me back together. The first thing that they said at the VA was, we're going to have to cut the foot off. Because it was out of place, and there was no circulation in that foot. It began turning colors. I mean, it just got this ugly-looking, bluish look, and it just didn't look good. And when the orthopedic surgeon came in, he yells at the emergency room doctor and says, why didn't you put it back in place? Long story short, they put my foot back in place and put me in a hospital room to see if the foot would recover. You talk about talking to your foot. I said, in the name of Jesus. God gave me 2 feet when I came into this world. I'm keeping 2 feet. And I just started speaking the word of God to my foot. Well, a week later, they said, okay, it looks pretty good. We don't have to take the foot off, so let's go back in and fix it. But for how many years? Well, it's been, 25 years since it happened. There would be times where this foot would be in so much pain that I would take a step and I'd just fall. It was a great time of learning humility. Because we as men, we don't like to fall, especially in front of people. We don't like looking stupid. It was great. I was looking stupid. I was looking foolish. And I was looking dumb in front of a lot of people. Or I'd walk, and somebody'd say, oh, your foot's bothering you? Because, you know, in high school, I had a nickname. I was called the Gimp, because the other ankle I broke. And after it got well, the doctor threw me a cane and says, you're going to need a cane for the rest of your life. And so here I am in ninth grade in high school because this ankle got broken. And so the nickname I got was Gimp. Hey, there's Gimp. Guess what? Even then, I refused to accept what the doctors told me. I took that ankle. I just would work it. I started saying, well, if I can do that without knowing God, how much more knowing God? So I got an opportunity with the other ankle to apply the word of God. Yeah, praise the Lord. You know, you have to apply the word of God right where you're at. You need to learn to apply it right in the situation you're facing. Get what God wants you to get. Get His promise and begin applying the spirit of faith that says, we believed and therefore speak. I believe. You got to make it personal. I now believe and therefore I speak. God wants that to become alive in you. He wants it to become alive in us with the promise that it's going, all things will work together for the good to those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. And you're going to find out that all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through thanksgiving of many, whoa, redound. I want New King James Version. All things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. For your sakes, that grace, having spread through many. My testimony to your ears, a testimony from you to somebody else's ears, a testimony from you to somebody else's ears. God wants you to be a living testimony of His grace and His goodness on this side of eternity. And it will continue to abound and abound. It will continue to spread and to spread and to spread. You have to realize that God is for you. And if God be for you, the question says, then who or what can be against you? And what is the answer to that? Nothing. There's a lot of stuff that comes against us, but is it victorious over you? And the answer is no. And this is the place that God wants to get all of us. And there's some things that I'll be speaking of next week and the week after that are meant to awaken. They are meant to prick. They are meant to get your attention. Because as we look at prophecy, we're going to be looking at prophecy, you're going to see some things fulfilled. And you're going to see some things that the Lord speaks of who He will use in these final days. And you have to decide, as I believe we all decide, that we want to be those that God uses in these final days. But we also have to be aware of the roadblocks that get introduced into our life so we won't be a wise one. And so we're going to look at some of roadblocks. We're going to look at some of the things that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. I think it's in also in Luke, Mark 13 and Luke 18 and 21. We're going to look at some of those things because there's this one of these last all things I want to close with right now. It's in Mark 13. And it's speaking about the time of tribulation, which has not been since the beginning of creation. Now, I know that a lot of people have different views on end times. There's a lot of different perspectives and views on end times, even in this church here, but that's okay. Because I want to share something with you. I want you to hear what Jesus had to say concerning these events. Actually, let's just look at this last verse here, verse 23. It says, but take heed, I have told you what? All things beforehand, or before. Everything that we need to know concerning the last days. I don't have to go outside the Word of God. I don't have to go into Jewish tradition. I don't have to look at all these other things outside what the Word of God says. When I've got a word that is from Jesus Himself, I have told you all things. Everything that we need to know about the second coming of Jesus Christ, everything we need to know about the catching away of the church, everything that we need to know concerning the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust, everything that we need to know has been given to us in the Word of God. Now, I've had many people challenge me concerning last days timeline. And one of the things they like to challenge us with, I was speaking really momentarily about this to Carol after the Thursday class, is they go very in-depth into the Jewish wedding ceremony. But do you know that there were many Jewish wedding ceremonies? See, but you are told about one wedding ceremony that lines up with a certain end-time view. So there are other ceremonies that they reject and take the one that fits their doctrine. I am told by Jesus himself, by your traditions, you're taking a Jewish tradition, you'll make the word of God of none effect. In other words, there'll be people that will be unprepared when the end time comes if you hold to something that God doesn't want us to hold to. So if you can't show me this wedding, the entirety of this wedding in Scripture, then don't come to me with it. Because I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, not by a custom or Jewish tradition. And you have to realize that, okay? Some of the teachings are beautiful, and they go into such wonderful types and shadows. Show me in the Word of God. I have a passage here from the mouth of Jesus Christ himself, speaking of end times. Everything that you need to know, Jesus has made known to us so that we can be fully prepared when that time comes. Isn't that wonderful to know? Even concerning the last days, he has let us know everything that we need to know. I'm not trying to line up with anybody's doctrine. I'm not trying to line up with anyone's denomination. I want to line up with one from whom all doctrine came from and the one who's over all denominations, and his name is Jesus Christ. I just want to be a Jesus man. How about you? Amen. Amen. If Jesus said it, I'll believe it. Hallelujah. That's the person I want to be. More. More. Father God, I just know that you're working everything to the good. And that passage in Mark chapter 9, that scripture in Mark 9, all things are possible to him who believes. So what needs to be happening within our life? You're wanting to grant us something from your word that you want us to believe and put our faith in above all else. And that truth always brings us to the person of yourself. So there's a revelation about you in the Word of God. There's a truth that reveals something about your character and nature to us. There's promises, Lord God, that you want us to grab hold of. But the greatest of all things, Lord God, is to know you and to walk with you, to speak with you, and you speak back to us, Lord. Because you tell us in John 14 and in John 16, Jesus, you said that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, would bring to our remembrance all things that you have spoken. We thank you, Lord God. From Genesis to Revelation, we have a speaking of you, Jesus. We have a revelation of you, Jesus. And there are things that the Holy Spirit is wanting to reveal and speak to each and every one of our hearts. And we thank you that we will be in a place and in a position, Lord God, to hear from you above all other things that are trying to speak in our lives. We look to you, Jesus. We thank you so much for loving us. We thank you so much that even those who were opposing you, then they thought they were with you, that you love them so much that you're going to come and you're going to give them a word, and I pray, Father, that they'll hear that word and be set free. So that when that final trumpet sounds, we will all be gathered together with you. Could you just put up this verse here, Ephesians 1:10. Thank you, Lord, because this is where everything is going, Ephesians 1:10. Read from verse 7 to verse 10 when you get an opportunity. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, how many of you know that there's coming an end to this dispensation called the church age? Things are going to wrap up. This church age is going to come to an end. It says, in the fullness of times, that he might what? Gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in him. This phrase, all things in Christ, has been governing my thought and my thinking. Because if the word all things also means everybody. It's an all-inclusive word of the word all. It says that he will gather in one everyone in Christ. So who's ever in Christ, he's going to gather. But I really love the King James Version and the New King James when it says all things, because everything about me is to be in Christ. Everything in my life is to be in agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is so faithful that even right now before the final gathering, there's a gathering taking place within my life and within your life to gather every area of your life to be in Christ. Isn't that beautiful? You have to know this, that he loves you that much, that every aspect of your life he knows, and every area of your life that needs to be changed he knows, and that he has made ample provision for everything concerning you. Father God, we just say amen and thank you for that last scripture there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.